This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Puck.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it is a podcast about your Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we are what? Not even 2 weeks away from winning that Stanley Cup, parading around D.C., enjoying the feeling of victory, and boom, just crashing back down to reality. Business has begun on the next season. Joining me, as always, to break everything down, Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you been?
I've been good. We haven't really talked that much hockey or anything since.
We're not used to recording this late.
I know.
In the year where it's like, I think we were texting, was it earlier today, and we were talking about we're going to do our awards. And I think we said something along the lines of, like, I texted you, and I was like, I haven't written anything down because I'm not used to my – I work as a summer camp director, and I am not used to the fact that I have camp at the same time that we're doing podcasts. Like, we're usually done well before it starts in June.
Yes, so, very true. And, like, the stuff we're going to cover in this episode usually is, like, one-off stuff. And, like, you and I will contact each other being like, should we do a show about this, or should we just post something on Facebook or whatever? Is this podcast worthy? But given the fact that we were celebrating the victory of the season last week, like, it's like the floodgates have opened up, and now the new season is like just a few weeks away, and we're already going to start talking about the training camp and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that part's a bit crazy. It's just been weird that we haven't had as much downtime.
No. I mean,
I'm so used to being like, take my time, get into the summer. We'll meet up at training camp, developmental camp. Not anymore, because Brandon hates it now.
Just and do then, it on a Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't really get that either, to be honest. I don't think I'll ever get why they made that change.
I did hear a rumor, and do not quote me on this because it is the internet.
So, quote Brandon. This is exactly what he's saying,
and it's a rumor. But I read that
they were
doing an equipment sale like they normally do at the developmental camp, but they're doing one in the middle of the week for season ticket holders, and then for us commoners, they're doing one on a Saturday, the 30th of June. I think that's right.
Can you hear the thunder in the background?
No.
Like, it's getting pretty loud, Brandon. I'm a little nervous, guys.
So it seems as if us commoners may be able to get some scraps, like an Aaron Volpatti stick, on June 30th.
And then I haven't even thought of that name.
And
it's
then
such a long time.
I got it right here. Let me.
Aaron Volpatti. Here's the thing. I've never been interested in the equipment sale. I don't need, like, Ovechkin's sweaty glove. Yeah, I can see. Thanks, buddy. I don't need Ovechkin's sweaty gloves. Like, no, thank you.
I love it. I mean, everything that says Stanley Cup playoffs and everything, I'm hoping will be on sale. And if they're going to do this on the 30th, oh, I'm so going. I'm so going and hanging out with us commoners. I'm the common man. I'm not a season ticket holder. I'm the common man. But anyway, so we haven't really talked since last week. You went to the parade, right? What was your experience like?
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. I mean, I went down. What metro stop did I get off at? I actually don't even remember. Oh, Metro Center. So I came out of Metro Center. My sister works in the city, and so I went down and met her at her office. And Glenmont is where I parked, and that's pretty crowded. So then there's a lot of Caps fans there, and you get on the train. You're going down. That was fine. You get to Metro. And as you're getting further into the city, there's more and more Caps fans getting on. Sure. And then I come out of Metro Center – because it's still relatively close to the parade. That wasn't the closest metro stop, but it was pretty close. And I go up, and there's people handing out stuff. Or actually, at Glenmont, they handed out like a special newspaper edition of like the Caps. And I have it downstairs. I should have shown it to you. So they had that there. And then I come up out of the metro, and they have like poster board size, not poster board size, but you know, they have these big things you can hold up. And so I went to her office, met up with her, and then we met up with some other people at the Metro, and then we walked over, and you get handed, like, rally towels, and they have different signs, and, like, 106.7 has a sign people can hold up, and then I think DC-101 may have had one, and, like, Budweiser or someone had one, but it's, like, a bunch, and there's just so many people, and you came around, I don't know what street it was, but, like, you come around the turn, and there's just, like, a sea of red, and you're like, holy crap, there's a lot of people around here. And everyone's, you know, chanting and excited. Things are going nuts. Started a little later, I think, than we anticipated. They got down to us. We were right outside the African American History Museum. And
like, how close were you to the stage?
So the stage was during the parade or during the rally?
During the rally.
So the rally was later.
You moved like with the parade, like you watched the parade and.
Yeah, kind of. So like the parade, and there was a weird part. So the parade went out and like. They had, like, season ticket holders, or other people that were up there, and, like, Beninati and Lachlan were on the back of a car, and I felt like Beninati was on his phone the whole time, and then, which is funny, my wife would be like, you do the same thing, and then we saw players were up on different ones, and, like, with their kids and families, and then there was a huge gap at one point where, like, we haven't seen the Cup, we haven't seen Ovechkin, we haven't seen Backstrom, we didn't see Orpik. All the coaching staff was, like, in the middle on one of the buses. And then they finally came by, which was pretty awesome. Kolzig was like walking alongside high-fiving people. Alan May was high-fiving people. At one point, season ticket holders on one of the buses were drinking. They got off the bus, were handing out beers to people on the side of the street, which is pretty insane. And then after the rally or the parade got past us, we actually cut over to the mall. And we were not that first section, but the next section back, and they had the big screen. So we were like, I could see the stage, and we were relatively close, but not like the closest.
I got to tell you, I am 100% regretting not going to that parade. I watched it on my tablet in my office, and seeing how much fun everybody was having. I mean, yeah, it was a big group of people, and that's not really my thing anymore. But I should have sucked it up. I should have went down there. I mean, I saw people setting up and getting their places in the mall at 3 a.m. I mean, there's some major
– yeah, those people are crazy. Like, I get you get to be up at the stage, but, like, you're nuts.
But I regret it. So I'm glad you went. I'm glad you had a good time. I definitely am going to kick myself. I am kicking
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, there were so many people that you see, like, on Facebook later that like, I haven't seen or talked to in years. And you're like, well, you were there too? Like, you were there? My wife, who works at a camp out just south of Annapolis, she drove to New Carrollton with a couple of her staff. So she had someone who's actually from Australia who now is a Caps fan.
Big Nathan Walker fan.
So that's the thing. I don't think she knew Nathan Walker was from Australia at first. So when they were announcing all of the players, and then they made a comment about him being from Australia, she goes, yeah, it was like, through her arms, I'm like super excited. It was pretty funny, but it was just, you know, people were all over the place. And like, when my wife got there, they came up out of the Metro and they got there like right before the parade was supposed to start. And so I'm like on the phone with her trying to tell her where to go. And my joke to everyone was like, I'll be the guy wearing red. And then, you know, I know it's stupid, but it was funny to me and that's what matters. So then, you know, I was like, I'm by this post or, you know, the flag. And like, there was a flag that was kind of like, not torn, but it was kind of like had in the wind kind of folded upon itself. And like, I was trying to describe where I am. And there's a dude next to me with this big Ovechkin like head thing. And he goes, just tell her to look for the Ovechkin head. And he holds it up. And I was like, thanks, man. And I was like, look for the guy holding the Ovechkin head. She goes, no, I don't. Oh, okay. And she comes like running over. So that was pretty cool. It was just great. I mean, it was just a fun day where everyone was happy. It was hot. But everyone was happy, having a great time. It wasn't like too hot. It was just cool. It was fun.
I have a guy that I've been friends with since middle school. Went to high school together. I didn't go to the same college. He's not an alum like you and I. But he's a big Caps fan, and he sent me. I got a picture from this number that I don't know. It's not even in my phone. I felt really bad afterwards. But I was like, "What is this? Dude got to hoist the Stanley Cup during the parade." Like, he's not a season ticket holder. I don't know if he knows one, but he's like, yeah, dude, I snuck on stage right after the event or right after the rally was over, and he got to hoist the Stanley Cup. I mean, incredibly jealous of him, as well as you and everybody else that attended that DC parade. That looks like it was an absolute blast. But I kept.
Hey, I got to hold up the FA Cup and the Premier League trophy. So you don't. That's for Ryan Drury. You don't even know what that means. Oh, there's more thunder, guys.
Oh, dude, I heard that one.
Do you remember? Oh, cool. Do you remember when we did the show in the not in the snow, but it was snowing? This is like 4 years ago.
Oh yeah, wasn't that snow veteran?
We kept having weather. Oh, it may have been. We kept doing like weather breaks to look into the snow. That was fun.
Oh man, yeah, that's
a good outside. One. That was a bit nuts.
I want to know, besides like the Stanley Cup not being able to get it out of Ovi's hand, I want to know who tried to get the WWE title out of Devontae Smith-Pelly's hand. Because he wore that the entire day, held it above his head. You could tell like that came in the mail from Triple H, and he was like, yep, that's mine. Ovi can have the Stanley Cup. This is my belt.
I like how Ovechkin called everybody boys and girls and babes.
I think it's Japers Rink. They put out a t-shirt and it's the Capitol building and underneath it says, what's up, babes?
I was waiting to see who was going to do that first.
Yeah, and you know,
they all had a lot of good bits. It was like, it's just like, it's also kind of fun because you see how well these guys like get along.
Sure. Oh yeah. This was a group of players that you can just tell really love each other. They love playing together. It really is like a family atmosphere that we're going to break up immediately.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's stay on the parade, but I found a way on Cap Friendly to keep everybody, I think, but Beagle.
How dare you?
And that was assuming the cap's going to go up to 80 million, which it sounds like it's going to get really close. I don't see how they bring him back, but it was a lot of fun. I think, I don't know Vrana's sort of walk when they were announcing all the players. Vrana
has been trashed since that Thursday.
He's probably still drunk. Burakovsky or Oshie had the best sort of like not come out, but like after their name got announced and they would walk out. Baxter's I thought was really great because the players not only like were clapping for him, but they all stood up and clapped for him, which was pretty awesome. Vrana had a little bit of a dance. Oh, Kuznetsov did the bird. Who else did? Burakovsky, I think he's kind of crazy. Like, he doesn't look like it, but I think he's crazy. he's an odd dude. Like, he's a little crazy.
That's why him and Ovi get along so well.
Dude, that's so true. I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, no, the parade was awesome. I got a bunch of stuff from it. I also left that downstairs. I'm smart, but otherwise it was a lot of fun.
Well, I am incredibly jealous of everyone that went. I'm jealous of you for going. I am just kicking myself for not being there. So, anyway, so let's move on to some news that's been going on in this past week. The Capitals are without a coach. Stanley Cup champion.
We can't have something nicer more than like 2 freaking weeks, can we?
That's right.
Like, that was the other thing. I felt like the parade was so not so big, but it was almost like, I think we talked about this last week, the whole city and the DMV area and sports fans around here were just like, finally, it's our turn, to quote Danny Ruya and Grant Paulson. But we can't have a nice thing for more than 2 weeks, right? Like the Skins, we had RG3, and it was great for like 10 games. And then, you know, things were going great. We had, I'm forgetting his freaking name, the general manager. Not McClellan. What the hell is his name? McLuhan. And he was doing great. And then F that up. And the Wizards were good for a while. Like, their name is still stupid. The Nats have had actually a pretty good run. Man, this season is struggling a bit. But like, we can't have a nice thing for a significant period of time. They're like, oh, you're having fun? The sports gods are like, that's great. Screw you. Bam. You like the thunder that's coming after me now. That's what's happening to DC fandom right now. We're like, oh, things are going great. Yeah, this coach everybody loves. Guess what? He's going to leave. Because you have a deal that, like, I get it. I feel like they could have worked something out so that he would have been happy.
Right.
Well, but I kind of get it. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah,
but like,
let's actually talk about the deal.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, let's actually talk about the deal. So, So from what I understand, this is what happened with Barry and the Caps, is that he was coming up to the end of his contract that he currently had. There was a clause in that contract that said if he won the Stanley Cup, he would get an automatic 2-year extension to that contract and a $300,000 a year boost. Barry Trotz is making $1.5 million as the Capitals coach, which is actually pretty low because since he's been here, the coaches' salaries around the league have ballooned and gotten so much bigger. So what he wanted was, he wanted what? I think a 5-year deal. The Caps were offering him 2 at $1.8 million. He wanted 5, and I believe he wanted around $5 million a year, which would have made him one of the highest paid coaches in the league. And it seems as if both sides were very far apart, and he just said, all right, well, you're not firing
me. I'm taking my ball. I'm going home.
You're not firing me because this contract just automatically extends. Like, neither side, like, literally, this was the best thing for the Caps business-wise before he left, because his contract just, boom, automatically renewed. So it was like, oh, cool, we got him for 2 more years. Then we don't need to renegotiate or anything. But Barry's like, listen, guys, yeah, I won you a cup. I'm going to want some cup money. I'm going to want more than $1.8 million. Got to make as much as some of these other guys around the league. And he was like, and also, I know you guys wanted to fire me anyway. So I'm gonna need some security here. I want 5 years at this amount of money.
Yeah, he wanted more money and more years, and the Caps just weren't comfortable with doing that. And I get it from sort of some point of view. It happened the way it happened. It's definitely a bit awkward and embarrassing to some extent to have that happen. But I also feel like we know who the Caps want to be their head coach when it became time for Trotz to leave. Oh, did you hear that one? That was a good one.
Yeah.
It's still going.
Maybe you should shelter in place while you do this.
Nah, I'll be fine.
Ooh. Is that thunder or are you just hungry?
I actually am. I don't know what I'm going to make for dinner. I make dinner after we record the show. I am hungry, but like that one went on for a while.
Yeah.
Wait, is this just like a... Oh, it's just a tank going by. Don't worry about it. So, well, God, what if that actually happened? It's become Red Dawn. What the hell was I saying before the thunder came in? Oh, Trotz. Okay, so they kind of already knew who they wanted their head coach to be. I mean, there were opportunities for teams that actually reached out to the Capitals being like, we want to talk to Todd Reirden about becoming our next head coach. And the Caps were like, no.
That's our guy.
Yeah, you can't have him. Screw off. I mean, if I would say it that way, because that's mean. But I think he's going to be the next head coach. I think the Caps knew they wanted him to be their next guy when he came trying, whether it was this season, at the end of the season, 5 years down the line, probably not that long. They wanted Reirden to be their guy, and I think he has the first shot, and then he's going to have to, like, completely botch the interview for him to not be announced as their head coach within the next, I would imagine, couple of weeks.
Yeah, the fact that they haven't been announced yet.
I think a week or two, and he's the next head coach.
I'm sure it's one of those things where, like, oh, you have to interview 3 people internally and 3 people outside the organization, even though they know who they want to hire. But they got to go through some legal things first to make it all legit. But if I'm Barry Trotz, like, I do want some security because, I mean, there was a rumor floating around. Barry Trotz.
No one ever has security in professional sports. So correct. If you were looking for security, he's in the wrong damn profession.
But Barry Trotz saw the writing on the wall. They redo the contract for Brian McClellan to make him the GM for the next couple years. They re-up Todd Reirden's contract, and I think the coach underneath him as well, whose name I don't remember. And they didn't offer Barry a thing.
And Lambert.
Yes, yes. They didn't offer Barry anything. So he kind of knew, you know, if I don't win the Stanley Cup, that's it. And he even said, I knew they were planning to fire me around February. So if I'm Barry Trotz, I'm definitely going, look, I knew what your plan was. I'm going to need some security that you're not just going to boot me if things go bad in November.
Like, I get it from both points of view. I get that Trotz was like, look, I've done this great thing. You tried to get rid of me once. I want some quote-unquote security and a pay raise that puts me on the same level or at least close to the same level as other coaches in the same position who have the same resume. Like, I get all of that, and I get the Caps' point of view that they were like, we're not so sure about that. You're a little bit older. You did this fantastic thing and you are now a legend in DC sports, but we're looking, you know, maybe we're looking at the next guy coming up soon. And we, you know, things were struggling for a bit. And yes, you guys are on this a hell of a run with the worst team that Trotz has had since he started here. He got the furthest, which also makes no effing sense, but that's besides the point. We've already talked about the ridiculousness of that whole situation.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was able to do what he did in such an amazing way, you kind of thought they were going to find a way to work it out. But, they just didn't. It just became that this is the reality of the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. This definitely feels like when NBC gave Conan O'Brien the Tonight Show and then told like Jay Leno, oh, no, you'll have a show at 10. It'll be great. And then things didn't work out, and they're like, yeah, Conan, Jay's going to need that Tonight Show back. And you know, it was kind of like we're grooming this guy to take over when he leaves, but we're expecting him to not do well towards the end of the contract because we had a two-year window. That window closed, and now we have a team full of unproven talent. So we're going to set this guy out to pasture. But then Barry Trotz.
Jesus, Brandy's not dying.
I mean, that's what they're treating him like. I mean, that's really what it is. Think about it. Like, end of the contract, we're going to fire him or we're going to let him go at the end of the season. There was no expectation of him winning the Stanley Cup. So after he did that.
I don't think anyone did.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was saying we didn't even expect him to win the Cup.
No, not at all. Absolutely not. But after he proves himself to be a fantastic coach and get the job done and do what he has to do, of course he's going to want something in return. But unfortunately, Barry Trotz resigned, and he is, you know, he did not wait long. He is making the moves and visiting a couple different places to take over for coaching. Right now, besides now the Capitals, the New York Islanders are the only team with a vacant head coach position available.
So wait, did Calgary hire somebody?
Yeah. It's Islanders are the only one left with a vacancy. He was, and Barry, it was like Trotz watch pretty much in the last day or so. He was spotted at the airport in Newark. Oh, yeah. And then he was spotted at an airport in Seattle, of all places.
Dude, Seattle's a nice town. Maybe he's just going to do some sightseeing.
Oh, yeah, because they're not talking about expansion at all in Seattle.
Be jumping into these rumors, buddy.
So, I mean, there's a, you know, he's looking around, he's trying to make some moves. There's potential of him being the first coach in Seattle. They're looking at 2020 being their first season. Barry Trotz would do fantastic there. And then who else do we have? And then the Islanders. He could go to the Islanders.
That would be interesting because it's in the division. I don't know. That would be like, come on, man. Like, why are you going to do it over there? Why got to go to those guys?
How long did it take for Bruce to get a job with Anaheim? Wasn't it like
3 days?
Well, yeah, I didn't even think it was that. I mean, that was pretty quick. So
12 minutes.
I don't know who's going to make some moves, but I don't expect Barry Trotz to be unemployed for very long.
No, I would anticipate that all being the case. I think he will be employed by next season.
Do you think Seattle or the Islanders is a good place for him to land? Or do you think there's some other places out there that might, you know, be letting one coach go to get Barry Trotz?
Well, I think the Islanders could be a good place to land, but there's a lot of questions about Tavares. Because I don't think he signed anything.
I think they're actually saying he might be moving to San Jose.
Tavares?
There's rumors. This is all rumor and innuendo. But there's talk that he might land there.
I mean, I guess it's possible. But that'd be weird. I don't know why. It just sounds weird to see Tavares. I mean, I don't mind getting him out of the conference. Fine with me. But yeah, I feel like Seattle's a tricky one because I have to imagine he's anybody that's going to go look to work in Seattle, be it an owner, general manager, coaches, players, to some extent, are going to assume that it's going to be similar, their setup in terms of how they create a team, similar to the Golden Knights.
Right.
And how they got started with the fact that, like, the NHL set them up very well. So part of me feels like that's an opportunity for coach to be like, oh, I can get this opportunity to kind of be brand new. And it wouldn't be the first time that Trotz has that opportunity.
That's right. Yeah, he has history with Nashville.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be the it wouldn't be completely out there for something like that to happen. But I also kind of feel like the rest of the NHL is going to be like, no, we're not giving you this great opportunity to be super good again. Like this brand new team, screw that. So I also wonder if Seattle's going to have quite as good an opportunity as Vegas had to build a competitive team right off the bat. And so that we have to wait and see. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see where he lands. Hopefully it's at least out of the division, if not out of the conference. That would be even better.
I was looking at, like, where is Barry Trotz from? He's a Winnipeg guy. They made it to the Western Conference Final, so I don't think they're going to do anything with their coach. I was thinking maybe, like, Vancouver could be a good place for him to land, but a lot of these coaches are pretty new to their organizations, so they've only been there a year or so. I was thinking, well, maybe Carolina. Well, they just hired their coach in April. I mean,
yeah, I kind of wonder if you're one of those teams, are you like, damn it, we should have waited.
Right.
I mean, there's no way you would have expected for Trotz to become available. Like, when you texted me saying he's gone, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Where is he going?
I always thought there was a chance, but I didn't actually think it would happen after he won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that was a bit insane that that actually happened. Like, when you texted me, I was like, nah. I was like, he left town? Where is he going? Like, I didn't think he would have actually had left. So that's, this whole thing is just a bit crazy. Very typical for DC Sports, but a bit crazy.
But a lot of people are like, how could you not work out a deal? How could this, yada, yada, yada? People forget that Ted Leonsis is one of the major reasons why the lockout lasted as long as it did a couple years ago. He was right there with Bettman. At the table, not accepting deals or not wanting to work out deals. He was Bettman's right-hand man when it came to that lockout. So Ted Leonsis, he will play hardball when it comes to business. He won't spend money if he doesn't want to. He won't get pressured into doing it. If he thinks it's a bad deal, he flat out will not do it.
That's fair. I mean, it is a business at some point, and, you know, I guess it's fair to say that the players and the owners, you know, don't always agree on everything and how they're doing things. I don't think they necessarily looking at, I kind of feel like they were a little concerned about the money, but more concerned about the years in terms of how many he wanted, and that they were looking to bring Reardon in within the next couple of years to take over.
Yeah. There's only so long you can tell a guy it'll be your turn. Just
it'll be your turn. I mean, going back to your analogy, I mean, that's Conan was probably going to leave if they didn't give him the Tonight Show.
Right. Well, that's how it all started, was that Fox went to Conan and said, we want you to do a Tonight Show for us. And Conan, because he had a relationship because he was a writer on The Simpsons. And when he was doing the late night show, you know, he went to NBC and said, look, I got this deal to get my own Tonight Show for Fox. What can you offer me? Like, what is the future here? And they said, we don't think Jay can keep up these ratings. So how about in 5 years, Jay doesn't want to give up the chair yet. In 5 years, you'll get the chair. And he said he'll step away. Well, in those 5 years, Jay Leno was doing really well and his ratings never went down. So now you have a really popular guy, kind of like the top of his game, in Conan, ready to take over the Tonight Show, but you also have this guy who's been on the Tonight Show for so long getting monster ratings and still doing well. People are still viewing him. Why would you want to take that off the air? That's the same thing we got here. We have a really talented guy in Todd Reardon who people have shown interest in, and the Capitol said, look, just give us some time. It'll be your turn. You're our guy. You're our future. And then you have Barry Trotz, who wins a freaking Stanley Cup with a bunch of players that were Hershey Bears last year. I mean, it's very difficult. It's a good problem to have, but it is a very difficult decision, and it had to have been hard for, you know, Brian McClellan to make that deal. And cause, I mean, that was like his first move as the GM, was bringing in Barry Trotz, right?
Trotz was actually, I think he was hired before McClellan.
Was he? Okay, but
I think that was a Leonsis hire.
Gotcha. Okay. So, but they were brought in around the same time. That's the only head coach McClellan has known as GM.
And yes, this will be McClellan's first hiring.
Right. So, I mean, I'm sure he wanted to stick with his boy, but, you know, I mean, I guess it is a business and things move on. I mean, Barry Trotz has wasted no time looking around and looking for a new job. So, I mean, good for him and good for him for sticking to his guns and saying this is what I want and knowing he can get it somewhere else and take care of his family. But it really does suck to lose him. I mean, you and I and even Ryan, when he was on the show earlier this year, was talking about how Barry doesn't know what he's doing and how he is. This team is lost and there's no leadership. And you're saying how he never developed any talent. And then he wins a friggin' Stanley Cup.
Younger talent.
Right.
No talent. I don't think we were like completely slagging the guy. Is that the right word?
Sure.
Yeah, it is now. But I, you know, there were times where this team was struggling, and he was a direct result of that. And then they were able to pull something together. And yeah, I mean, there's things you go back and you look at Trotz's tenure with the Caps, and there's a lot of mistakes he made in the past in terms of playing Schmidt less than he probably should have, and playing veteran guys over young players, and giving young players an opportunity. And sometimes he was right, and sometimes he was wrong. And I think that's a reality of if you look at any head coach after their tenures has wrapped up. So I'm not, you know, it is what it is. It sucks that it went down this way. I mean, I guess it's better than him being fired like next year if they struggle.
Right.
Did that happen in Pittsburgh before? So.
Yeah. With, Dan Bylsma, right?
Well, he had another year or two before he was gone. I feel like after the last one, the cup.
Okay.
But what was his name before Sullivan? I can't remember the guy's name, but he won the cup, got fired the next season. And I might be wrong about this. I could have sworn he won the cup, got fired, then Sullivan won the cup the next season. But maybe I'm wrong. But either way, you know, Trotz is gone, and we'll see who's next.
Now, talking about who's next, we do have the NHL draft coming up this weekend. And again, it's crazy to think about the fact that the draft is happening so close to the end of the season. But the NHL draft is very interesting, and it's kind of hard to do like a mock draft or anything like that because they draft so young, and because a lot of these, like with the NFL,
like outside of the first three, dude's not playing for you for a while,
right? Like Chandler Stevenson, I think, or it may have been him and Christian Juice. They're in their rookie contract right now. They got drafted 6 years ago. So you don't see them for a while. But it's kind of difficult to predict like what the Capitals do in the draft because they're not going to be in the top three. And that means that whoever they draft, you know, 9 times out of 10 are not going to make an impact next season. So it's not going to be like, oh, we're going to lose John Carlson. We need a defenseman. We'll draft this guy because there's a good chance that's not going to happen.
Not that there's a good chance. Like, it's just straight up not going to happen. At least not this next season. I mean, they have the last pick in the rounds, or in the first round at least.
And they actually have first round picks, so, you know.
Yeah, they have a first round pick. They traded away their second round pick, but they have Florida's second round. Oh, I just clicked a thing. Hang on, I gotta go back. They got Florida's second round pick, though. They have their third, their fourth, no fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. And some of that may change. I feel like Brandon, when is the draft? I can't remember.
Isn't it Friday?
Oh, it's this Friday? Whoa!
The 22nd.
This weekend got a lot more exciting, let me tell you, Brandon.
Well, it's the draft. It's not that exciting.
No, but you do. No, well, the draft itself is not very exciting. But you do have a lot of deals that go down. I mean, we already had a couple of deals that have gone down the last couple of days. The Canadiens acquired Max Domi from Arizona for Alex Galchenyuk. They had the whole thing going on in Ottawa was going a bit nuts. So Mike Hoffman got dealt to San Jose along with Cody Donahue and a fifth round pick in 2020 for Michael Bodker, Julius Bergman, and a sixth round pick in 2020. And then Hoffman got traded like 8 seconds later to Florida for a 2018 seventh round pick. And San Jose got a fourth, a fifth in 2018 and a second in 2019. And then we have all these other rumors going on, like Carlson up in Ottawa might be getting traded, and rumors about Tavares and Panarin from Columbus, and like a bunch of other deals that may or may not happen. A lot of times some of them happen around the draft. I feel like Grubauer likely will be gone. yeah, by this weekend.
That was going to be my next question. Do you think Grubauer gets traded away for a couple picks in this draft, or do you think that player for player, like, is Philip Grubauer still a Cap by Sunday?
No.
Really? Okay.
I don't think so.
So what do you think Philip Grubauer brings in? Is it
mid-round pick? Mid-draft pick? Mid-round pick? That doesn't make sense. Mid-draft pick.
So like round 3-4 or something like that?
Yeah.
That's it? Like you don't see him like a trade, like a player and a pick?
I mean, maybe. Goalies lately, I feel like I was reading somewhere where goalies haven't, it might have been on Twitter, goalies don't really go for a lot lately. I mean, he's got a good cap hit. He had a good regular season, a really good regular season. He's still a restricted free agent. So, and he's only 26. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got a little bit more, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he didn't.
I mean, because you do have a really good goalie, but then he opens up the Stanley Cup playoffs, losing two games, which brings in Braden Holtby.
That wasn't great.
Yeah. So maybe that value went down a little bit.
Just a smidge.
What teams out there do you think are in need of a goalie?
Oh, and, God.
Because Grubauer, I think, has kind of proven he can be a number one guy.
Oh, God. I totally had an answer to this a couple weeks ago. Now I cannot for the life of me remember who. Like, I feel like – how do I find out which teams – where are their goalies? I don't know. Like, not Florida.
Yeah, like
Carolina. Carolina might be looking for a goalie. Who's the goalie in Calgary? I'm totally blanking on this right now. Oh, Mike Smith. Oh, he's 36, so they might want to make a deal with Mike Smith going into the last year of his deal. He's a free agent after next season, and he's already 36. Maybe they're looking to potentially have their next goaltender on the roster. The Islanders, I don't think so. I mean, they have Halak, who's a free agent now. Yeah, Halak's a free agent, so maybe they want someone to work with Thomas Greiss, who's already 32. That's, I suppose, a possibility. Detroit, maybe. Someone to understudy Jimmy Howard because he's 34 going into last year. His deal.
Yeah. So you're still seeing Grubauer being a backup for the next season.
I think that's not necessarily. I mean, McClellan came out and was talking about how he knows that Grubauer wants to be a starter and he wants to find an opportunity for him to start. And so he could move somewhere where he'll fight for a starting spot.
Yeah, like that was the same thing with Nuvi, though. Like Nuvi wanted to be a starter. And he left, and it took him a couple seasons to become the starter in Philadelphia. But then he,
he bopped around. That's stupid. Why did I say it that way? He moved around to a couple of different teams before. He was in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Who is he? He was with someone else before he moved to Philly. Again, it's late, guys. I'm tired, and I can't remember all the damn words that I want to say right now. Neuwirth went. Hang on, I'm looking it up real fast. He moved around. Oh, this is not going to be as helpful as I thought it was going to be. Oh, here we go. Buffalo, the Islanders. I wanted to say the Islanders, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. He spent a season with the Islanders.
He got hooked back up with Halak, right?
Yeah, that was pretty. Yeah, we all had a nice chuckle at that. He went to the Sabres, the Islanders, then to the Flyers, and he's been with the Flyers for a while. But even there, he's kind of like, you know, when he's healthy, he's in the starting lineup, but how long can he stay healthy?
Right.
I think there's opportunities for Grubauer to go somewhere. And I don't know where. But there's an opportunity for him to go somewhere and be the man. He just may have to fight for it at first. But he's got a decent resume.
Yeah, he's got a good resume. He does have talent. Nothing taken away from Grubby. So Phoenix Copley looks like he's going to be the backup to Braden Holtby if Philip Grubauer is dealt somewhere. And that would bring in Russian phenom Samsonov to Hershey. So, I mean, potentially, if there's an injury or something, you could see him back up Holtby as early as this season. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting. I might have to make a Hershey trip just to see this Samsonov kid.
Yeah, we were talking about that on Twitter. That would be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, and they have their home opener. They just scheduled their home opener. I think it's October 6th is when you can see your first Hershey Bears game. That's their at their Giants Center. So that's cool.
It's all right. It'll be fun going, but they'll lose. Because, and it's no fault of their own, but if I go to a game, they always lose.
The best part is that I'm going to be like, oh, man, I really want to see this Samsonov kid. I'm really excited to see him. I go up there. They're not playing him that night.
Oh, that would also suck. That would be unfortunate.
Now, the draft, I feel like the draft is better as like a review show than a preview, because I really like, I don't follow college hockey. I don't really know what the Caps are going to do, because if they're not in those top three, it's kind of like a crapshoot. It's kind of like the Caps kind of go, oh, well, this guy has got some talent. He's the most talented one out there right now. Let's go for him.
He's okay.
We'll figure it out later. But
we've never been great at following sort of the rookies. We can, Ryan Drury has a pretty good feel for a lot of that stuff. But Brady hasn't thundered here in a while. Maybe it already passed.
Is it over?
Yeah, maybe. I guess. Hey, guys, I made it! Finally. Sorry, I caught you right in the middle of drinking. No, it's, it'll be interesting to see. I'm more interested in the trades that happen. The guys that pick, I'm sure, will be nice picks, but we're not going to see them for a while. I'll bet they pick a Russian dude.
Maybe. You never know. Maybe.
Always do.
All right. So, also coming up in, little less than 2 weeks is free agency. And like we said, Philip Grubauer is a restricted free agent. The biggest question mark the Capitals and the NHL world has right now is John Carlson. It's probably the best unrestricted free agent defenseman that's going to be out there right now. People are projecting him to make $8 to $9 million from free agency.
That is a bit absurd.
Do you see the Caps being able to bring him back, or do you think that he's going off to forge some new ground somewhere else?
I think they can bring him back. I was on Cap Friendly last night. I found a way to bring him back. Bro, I think I had him at $8 million. I could bring him back. I kept Orpik just to see if I could do it. I brought back Kempney. I didn't resign Bowie, or did I? I can't remember. I think I didn't resign Bowie at that point, and they're going to. It's just a matter of I was just screwing around. Copley was the backup. Grubauer was gone. I resigned Wilson to $4 million, I think. I don't know if he'll get that, but I think I was just trying to see what I could pull off. I let Beagle go. I re-signed Smith-Pelly, I think, to 1.5. And I was able to get him. They had, no cap space left at that point. But I was able to do it. I think if they can get Carlson's money down a little bit, to 7, or even, I don't think they'll get under 7, but if they can get it to under 7, that would be amazing. To sort of work something out. But I think you got to find a way to buy out Orpik. Someone was talking about it. Oh, was it Japers Rink on Twitter today was talking about Orpik going to a team that's a young team looking for a veteran leader to come in and help them. And the last year of his deal that has a lot of cap space. And that would be an ideal situation if they could find a team that's we'll take him on for 1 year at $5.5 million, because we already have a ton of cap space, so it's not really going to affect us. And the Caps, you make a trade, then that's $5.5 million. You're just freed up. There goes your ability to you're now re-signing John Carlson with not really too much of an issue, provided he actually wants to stay. And you're going to go out, and at that point, you probably can bring back Beagle for a year or two, as well as Smith-Pelly and a lot of these guys you don't want to lose.
Beagle, it is insane to think about. If you listen to last week's show, you kind of heard the little intro that I put together of a bunch of the different Caps players being interviewed and given their thoughts on everything. Jay Beagle made history with his Stanley Cup win. He's the first player to win the Kelly Cup in the ECHL, the Calder Cup in the AHL, and then the Stanley Cup in the NHL. Besides Ovi and Backstrom as well, he's the longest tenured Capital there. He's been there since 2008, I think. I think it's 2008.
He's been there for a long time.
So he's been with this organization for a long time. The dude is he is a grinder. He knows what his job is. He's not looking for, give me more minutes, give me this, give me that. He works hard for everything that he earns. And I think you need that. I think he's a veteran now, and you need that leadership that Beagle has in the locker room as well as on the ice. I mean, he is fantastic at center. He was a saving grace for a long time at center. You ask him to do something, he will do it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. He just goes, whatever you need, coach, and gets it done. I would hate to see somebody with that attitude walk out the door. I understand he's a fourth line guy, maybe a third line guy, and you can't have somebody on your fourth line making, you know, buku bucks like the problem we had with Brooks Like a couple years ago. But Jay Beagle brings so much to this team. I would hate to see him leave.
No, I mean, it would kind of like when Like left, kind of like when you have these guys who've been here a while and sort of the not unsung heroes, but just fan favorites that people really enjoy seeing. But I think the reality of the situation is he's going to be looking for a bit more money. I can't figure out how much he made last time, but he's 32. He turns 33 in October, at the beginning of the season. He'll turn 33. He just came off a deal where he was earning 1.75, so he's going to be looking for a little bit more. I don't think they can afford that, especially if Orpik's still on the books. If Orpik has moved out, I think there's a better opportunity to sign him to 1 or 2 years. But anything more than that, I think the team's looking to move on.
That's really sad to see him
go. I mean, it's the reality of sports in that case. You know, players are always going to be moving on.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with Trotz, but I mean, a guy works so hard. It kind of reminds me of like when Matt Hendricks left. Like, he's a really hardworking guy, but you can't pay a fourth line guy that amount of money and do fourth line minutes. But I think he could, you know, do really well for this team, but maybe Jay Beagle can go to Calgary or Edmonton or something and make that same amount of impact. It's like the same thing with Steven Oleksii, if you remember him. He was a hardworking guy. He treated every single game like it was the most important game. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I would hate to see Jay Beagle walk out the door because of money, but whatever.
Well, it's not a matter of him wanting more money. I think it's a matter of them not having the money to pay him. Sure. Yeah. And I think the team would like to bring him back. It's just I don't know if they can without sacrificing someone else who, and I don't think this is the wrong way, is quote-unquote more important.
Right.
But I also feel like it's good that he came out and he said, and I forget where I read this, but he came out and he said that he's willing to wait. It's probably Isabel shooting him for the post. He's killing it. He's willing to wait. He knows that you know, they want to go out and sign the big guys, bring them back first, and then they'll come around talking to him.
He's a humble guy.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds silly, but he knows his role.
Right, he does. So we'll see what happens. In your little thing that you had marked up, was Alex Chiasson a part of your bring back?
No, I see ya. I didn't make any trades. Because that just wasn't part of the stupid exercise that I was doing. I brought back Smith-Pelly. Chiasson's gone. Beagle's gone. Wilson I brought back. I didn't re-sign Travis Boyd. I do think he'll be back. I kept Niskanen, kept Orpik, kept Orlov, kept Juice, re-signed Carlson, re-signed Kempney, didn't re-sign Bowie, but I expect the team to do so, and I would have if I was like going into it further. I didn't re-sign Yerbeck. I think he's gone. Obviously kept Holpe, kept Copley. I think I actually brought up Nathan Walker on the fourth line and Gerser.
I mean, to be honest, now that Barry Trotz is gone, there is a good chance Nathan Walker is a part of this team for the long run because he wasn't the biggest guy, and I don't really think Barry Trotz had long-term plans for him. And that's why he was let go, was picked up, I think, by Edmonton, and then got put on waivers again, and we just brought him back. It was just luck that he was able to come back.
This season worked out real nice for him.
It really did.
I ended up in Edmonton. I'm back with the guy playing at Hershey. Oh, now I got to be part of a cup parade.
Yeah, so I mean, it was good for him, but he might actually get some more playing time now that Barry Trotz is gone. Alex Chiasson, I do want to – go ahead.
No, sorry. If Beagle leaves, I think we're going to get more playing time from some of these younger guys, especially on the fourth line. I think you might see Chandler Stephenson and his mustache moving into the center spot on that fourth line, which means you may see more playing time for someone like Travis Boyd, Nathan Walker, Shane Gersick, or one of the younger guys that, you know, someone may come up or someone they just signed this past offseason that may surprise you. Someone like it, and I'm going to say this dude's name wrong. Juuso Ikonen? Maybe someone like Hampus Gustafsson, like one of these guys that they just signed may surprise you and come up, or Axel Janssen-Fjällby, he may come up and be playing on the third or fourth line for this team next season.
You know, a name that we haven't really talked about in a long time, but he's a part of the Hershey organization, and it's kind of his, it's time for him to make it to the big leagues if he can, Riley Barber.
I think, is he even still on the team? I can't even find his name on this thing.
He's still a Bear.
Oh, he's a restricted free agent. Yeah, Barber, I feel like it's now, and maybe he's one of the guys that shows up a bit late, but I feel like it's his time to shine, and if he can't do it, that's it. Like, the fact that they didn't bring him up, I wonder how he did last season points-wise. The fact that they didn't bring him up during the cup run may be saying something.
Well, everybody with the cup run has already, they already had a sweater.
I mean, according to Cap Friendly, he had 38 points in 60 games this past season with the Bears. Not terrible.
No.
So, 20 goals, 18 assists. You know, he may get a look in training camp. I think it'll be interesting to see. It depends on who the coach is. If it's someone from the outside, I think you'll see a lot of players that get a shot. And if it's not Lambert Reardon, then I think, you know, he'll still look at the younger guys, but it won't be quite like, he'll know a lot more about the guys who were on the roster last season.
Now, Alex Chason, I agree with you. I think that's very little chance that he's going to be picked up and he's going to stay a Capital. I mean, he was making what, like the league minimum wage? Same with Devontae Smith-Pelly. Both of those guys were kind of making league minimum wage last year. But I don't know if you noticed this or not, but it seemed as if Alex Chason and Alex Ovechkin had a very tight friendship this year. Every time they were celebrating in the locker room, it seems as if Chason and Ovi, you know, would hug really hard. They would, look at each other, just say, couldn't believe it, yada, yada, yada. And then at the rally in D.C., when they announced Alex Chason's number, Ovi stood up and applauded him. He didn't do that for anybody but some of the big names like Backstrom and Wilson and Cousy and Orly. Chason was like the only one that kind of, you know, wasn't a media darling that Ovi stood up for, clapped, and like really got behind. So,
yeah, but he's been boys with other players before and they've been gone.
Yeah, we've seen Alex Semin leave. I mean, Ovi and Semin were major boys, and same thing with Greeny. But I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of, again, like you said before, it's the thing with sports. You know, it's, you know, people leave town or whatever. But it's something I've noticed in the postseason that the two of them seem to have gotten close over this regular season. And, you know, it sucks that they're going to lose that professional teamwork that they've had. But I agree with you. Chason probably is not going to get signed. He was only here on a 1-year contract anyway. They could, you know, if he was like, hey, I won't take any extra money, then cool. Sign him for what he's already been making. But I would assume he would want more.
Yeah, I'd say that's a safe assumption, and that's not going to happen. Nice knowing you, buddy.
Yeah. I would love to see Kepney come back. I thought he was a real talent. He did really good. He made some dumb moves, but he always made up for them in the next game.
But he was a dumb head sometimes.
Sometimes, but not all the time. But apparently he had a really hard time coming into D.C. He didn't like the fact that he was traded, and then he came here and took him a while.
Well, it's kind of a bit of a shock to the system. We're like, hey, thanks for everything you've done. Get out.
Right. But it seems like he kind of got over that and was able to move on and do really well. So I'd like to see him come back. It worries me, though, to have Kepney and John Carlson both up for bump-ups in contract, because I feel as if, like, Brian McClellan's going to look at that and be like, you know, John, you could take this amount of money, or we could just keep Kepney over here for a lesser amount. He'll take your spot. Like, that worries me, as if you're not going to be able to keep both during this one negotiating time.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. No, I think they'll end up signing. I think Kepney's not going to make a ton in terms of his new deal, and I think we'll see Carlson's going to get a big deal, but I don't think there's necessarily a connection between the two.
Is there anybody else you think when free agency hits, you're going to kind of be like, oh, wow, we kept this guy or that guy?
Beagle,
he's your biggest one?
Beagle's going to be the big shock where I wouldn't have seen that coming.
All right. Well,
I mean, I think it's just the reality of his age. the money he's going to be making, and the raises to a lot of other players, unless they move out Orpik. If they find a way to move out Orpik, then all bets are off. But I think Beagle, if they re-sign him, I'm going to be, honestly, I'll be surprised. I'll be happy, but I'll be surprised.
After the postseason that Brooks Orpik had, dude ain't going anywhere.
No, he can go.
He ain't going anywhere. Unless he wants to retire, he is not going anywhere.
Bye, Brooks.
Well, what else should we talk about? Oh, right. Right. So the Capitals have their preseason schedule out. But also news broke tomorrow, when you guys are probably going to be listening to this, the actual schedule is coming out. But they did announce who the opponent was going to be for Caps Banner Night. And I know what you guys are thinking. It's probably up against those pesky Penguins. We're going to raise our banner in front of our arch rival. We're going to shove it in their faces. Nope. Caps versus Bruins. That makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't care who they're facing. I just know they're raising Stanley Cup banner.
Yeah, that's true. And I want to be there to see that. Since I missed the parade, I want to be there to see that. But weird choice, don't you think? Not even the Rangers?
You just wanted the Penguins.
Yeah, I wanted to rub it in their stupid Pittsburgh faces.
Yeah, the players aren't necessarily from Pittsburgh.
Stupid.
That's an excellent comeback. Thank you.
You know, the Caps had to do it. They had to go to Pittsburgh and watch that banner get raised.
True.
And then the next night, the Capitals are in Pittsburgh for their home opener.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice by them. Let's put it that way.
Win a Stanley Cup, you still get no respect.
Do whatever. They're raising one. That's all that matters to me. I don't care if they're playing some podunk team from the ECHL.
From Reading.
They're raising a banner. And not just any banner. The banner.
That's right.
Bruce Banner. No, sorry.
We still haven't looked in to see how much a suite would be for that night. We need to do that.
Nope. I mean, if it ends up not being that bad, I'll go. But, like, I think you're losing your damn mind.
I like to do that. That's what I do.
Happens from time to time.
Anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
No? I don't know. Probably. But it's late.
All right. Well, if you guys want to continue.
They won!
That's the Capitals are still Stanley Cup champs. So, always right with the world. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals things, as well as Arsenal Football Club, the moves that they've been making. Not so much NFL because I've kind of lost interest a little bit. Baseball, it's okay. I enjoy it. Whatever. DC United from time to time. All sorts of good fun stuff. Summers when I start to tweet a little bit less, a bit busy during the day, and there's not as much. But when news breaks or comes out or things happen, I'll throw something in there. Welcome, I don't know how to say his name, Bernd Leno, coming over to Arsenal from Bayer Leverkusen. Brandon has completely lost interest in this conversation because he has no idea
the World Cup is going on.
Yes, and it's, you know, the World Cup is going on. I've seen part of one game because all the games are on during the day when I'm at work. And I was talking with actually a coworker about this today. I feel less interested. He was actually saying it first. We're less interested in the World Cup this go around, and it's probably because the U.S. is not in it.
That's 100% the reason.
I love soccer or football. You know, I play it. I played it when I was a kid. I love watching it. I'll watch teams I don't even know. I've watched championship. That's a lower level. It's like the AHL. I've watched those kind of games on TV before because I enjoy watching the sport. I just don't find myself as invigorated this time regarding the World Cup that I did in the past. And I don't think it is a big reason the U.S. is not in it, but I think there's – and Italy, because that's my second team. But I just don't find it as interesting. Maybe because I have a harder time watching the games because it's just not on when I can watch.
Well, you can stream them on the Fox Now app.
Well, a little busy at work, man.
Ah. Also, you're getting older. That's why.
Shut up. That's got nothing to do with it.
That's the reason.
I am 1 year, if not less, older than you. Settle down, sir.
There are things that I am not interested in anymore because I'm in my 30s. I mean, it's just a thing. It happens.
I call BS. But somehow that was following me on Twitter at WTPCoach. And hey, if you enjoy the show, if you like our rambling and everything that we've been doing for the past like hour, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other fun things that come into Brandon's head that he wants to throw out there on the face. He's nodding that on the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, can you do us all a favor before the thunder strikes me down? Actually, thunder didn't strike me down. It'd be the lightning. Takes me out one last time. Can you let everybody else know about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and all the podcasts we do here. Training camp for the Baltimore Ravens is coming up next month. The call will be coming back. I will literally not even have 1 week off from podcasting this year. I am not.
Blame the Caps.
I'm not complaining. It is a great feeling. I absolutely love podcasting, but I also enjoy, you know, being able to eat crabs on a Wednesday night and going to Dollar Crab Night at a bar, but I can't do that.
Dude, don't get me started on eating the crabs. It's too much work for not a lot of food. And it may be really good, but...
All right, this is the last show that we're doing here.
I don't have a lot of experience with it, so like...
You grew up here. How did you...
No, I grew up outside D.C., right? Like, I grew up, yes, in Maryland, but I was in the D.C. area. You know, I'm not a... Like, I'm a Maryland guy, but I didn't have crabs a lot when I was a kid.
Man,
I feel so... I came from a family... Both parents are from New York, one from just outside the city, one from Buffalo.
I feel so you bad know? For you. You missed out on so much.
Wow, that was... This got real. That was mean.
I mean, that's...
Brandon's kind of a dick, everybody.
I mean, but like that was what you, I mean, that's what I did growing up was it was a crab feast. Like whenever there was an event to be held in the summer, it was a crab feast. And it wasn't just like it wasn't just the food. It was the get together and the friendships and the family. And it was, you know, it was like Christmas, Christmas or whatever you said, Thanksgiving dinner with your group of people, like, you know, once a month in the summer or whatever. I mean, that was. That's what you do up here in Baltimore.
I'm not from Baltimore, man.
I know.
No, I like crab. There's this place. We've gotten off topic again, everybody. There's this place outside of Salisbury. I can't remember the name of it, but it you know, it had sort of like an all-you-can-eat crab thing, and it was cool. But it's a lot of work for not a lot of food. God. You cannot argue that point.
It's all if it's all you can eat, just continue to eat until you're full.
No, I know. I get all that. It's just it's a lot of work for not a lot of food and that particular crab.
Yeah, and you're not a drinker either, so you're missing out on crabs and beer. God,
no, I don't. Well, I'm not like a big drinker, but I, you know, I have. Oh, you know what? I just actually realized I had my last cider last night. Damn it! I'll just have water.
No, not the same.
Boring.
Not the same. Actually, let me tell you, there's a place in Ocean City, not too far away from my condo, called the Crab Bag. John Carlson just enjoyed his a little dinner there with his family this week. So John Carlson chilling out in Ocean City, Maryland, getting some crabs at the Crab Bag. Free plug there. Well, that's it. All right. So we do this show for free. Maybe we'll continue to do it. Because it seems like Coach Dan's pretty ticked. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review. Cat just jumped up in my lap and scared the living crap out of me. Good God. That was spooky. Especially just seeing the movie Hereditary last night. Wow, that was... Okay, I'm better. All right. Write us an iTunes review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. So I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So Coach Dan, next week, What the Puckies. Are you ready?
Nope. Haven't written my notes yet. I remember the name of some of the awards.
So for some of you out there, if this is your first time this season or first time right now listening to the show, Coach Dan and I, we give out our end of the year awards each season as it ends, and they're called the What the Puckies, and we are going to do that next week, and then we'll get ready for free agency. So, Coach Dan, I mean, this has been a long show for an off-season show.
Yeah, right. Well, we've been rambling a bit, and I almost died from the storm. That ended up not being...
That's a good one. All right, everybody, say it loud, say it proud for the Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah!
Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
Hey, by the way, dude, you're about to get friggin' slammed.
Oh! That's a lot of red on the radar!
And that's right at Olney. That's right on the map, so...
That is... I will duck... No, I got home about 25 minutes ago. Yeah, I can see it, buddy.
Yeah.
I got home. Oh, that's what I was going to look up on this laptop. I got home about 25 minutes ago, and I was like, I hear thunder. But then I remember seeing, I got a text saying there was a severe weather warning, or a severe thunderstorm warning. But I thought it was until like 7 at 7:53. I was like, what's going on? But yeah, apparently I'm about to die.
All right, yeah, let's hurry this up. It's your final memoir.
It's my final podcast, guys.